Hi everyone, it's Gavin J, the best thing since The Colour Pink. And you're listening to The Therapy Suite right here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. This week, I welcome back artist and educator Irene De Jong, discussing art and mental well-being. Welcome back to the show, Irene. How are you doing?
I'm very well. Thank you so much for having me again, Gavin. It's really exciting to talk to you.
Thank you for coming on board. Irene, could you just remind us a bit about your background and how you got to where you are? That'd be brilliant.
Of course. So I'm an artist and I teach lots of different art classes, both in person as well as online with my business that I started, Makings and Musings. But I was not always an artist. For a long time, art was only a very small part of my life. You know, I enjoyed it as a kid, like most kids like to draw. And then for a long time, I stepped away from that. I had a corporate career. I worked in law and insurance, and I worked in a very, very corporate environment, very different from where I am now. And then at some point, due to like various things going on in my life, I realized that I wanted to go back to making art. And that making art really helped me with my own mental health and with my own struggles. And I started teaching a few people, first a few friends. And then after that, that started to grow and more people started to come to my classes until, I felt like I could actually make a business out of this. And I left my job and now this is what I do.
Now you're living the dream.
Yes. Yeah. Things have changed significantly for me.
Fantastic. Remind us a bit about Makings and Musings and, you know, what you do, basically.
Yeah, so the name Makings and Musings comes from the making part. So like making things with your hands, being creative and making things like physical paintings, drawings. When I originally started, I wanted to do lots of other crafts as well. But yeah, now it's really painting and drawing. And then musing, you know, when artists have a muse, like someone that they admire, something that they get inspiration out of. And also musing is when you like go for a walk and you let your mind wander and you have all these ideas and inspiration coming in. So that's the two components, the making part, like the physical making part, and then the mindfulness, thinking, dreaming, inspiration, creative part. Yeah, so that's where that comes from. And I teach both. I have an online community, so people come in and I teach them painting and drawing skills online, mostly beginners or people who've not done any art for a long time. And since a few months now, I started to do in-person classes again, because during, you know, lockdown and everything I did started to be online. But yeah, since a few months, I'm doing in-person classes again as well, which is really lovely, just really nice to... have that interaction with people in person again. So absolutely. I didn't realize how much I missed it until I started doing it again.
Fantastic. COVID seems like so long ago now, isn't it? It's like been 4 years ago now, isn't it?
It does. It's like, yeah, it's like a different world, isn't it?
Absolutely. You mentioned dreaming. Do you have dreams and that inspires you with your classes and your own art?
I do. I dream quite vividly. Like literally, you know, when you go to sleep and I dream. So I dream quite vividly and quite often I dream up things that I then want to create or want to do. But also I've got quite big dreams for, you know, what I want to do with making some musings. And sometimes I have ideas that seem not entirely realistic. But then once you start working on it and you take small steps towards that goal, if you told me now 5 years ago that this was what I would make my full-time living off, I would not have, maybe I would have believed it. But yeah, it's good to take small steps towards a small goal.
Brilliant.
I speak to a lot of people who want to start doing something creative instead of doing more corporate jobs and, or, you know, people who want to be self-employed. And I think if you start small, just, you know, with a small product, start making a website or, you know, just sell some things on a market or do like small steps is what brings you to that end goal.
Absolutely, absolutely. Do you have dreams that they're kind of creative dreams that inspire you, or are you one of those people that dream about how you move forward in life? Because I've spoken to quite a few different people, and it's funny you mentioned dreams because there's different types. I have dreams which I don't know what they mean. It means absolutely zero. Doesn't really mean anything to me. I've had people that have dreams. Mm-hmm. And it shows them some kind of foresight into the future. Mm-hmm. And then I have people that explain to me that their dreams are creative and that kind of thing. So when you dream, it's inspiring to your art, but is it also, does it show you directions in terms of your life and where you're traveling?
I'm not sure. I think sometimes my dreams are just so weird and wonderful and wacky that I feel like sometimes there is a connection to real life or to things. And also sometimes like a little bit of like fortune telling where you think, oh, maybe this is something that you were thinking about sort of in your subconscious mind that is coming out in a dream that you didn't realize you were thinking about. But like I dream really vivid, and sometimes I speak in my sleep, or I sleepwalk as well. So my partner, he can get all these secrets out of me when I'm asleep. I just
do you sleepwalk?
I do, yes. And like even only this is maybe 2 weeks ago, I was walking around in my sleep. I don't remember this, but apparently I was walking around and I thought I was carrying a large egg that I had to protect, like, you know, like an ostrich egg. So my partner's like, what are you doing, Irene? Where are you going? And I'm like, yeah, I have to put this safe somewhere. I have to go find, you know, this egg. I have to put it safe. And he's like, what's she talking about? So sometimes it's so vivid that it makes me do things. But yeah, I don't know how many people have this.
Can you share some ways that Makings and Musings supports people in their creative journey, especially those who might be nervous or unsure?
Yes, absolutely. I teach a lot of people who fall within that category, people who are maybe a bit older or people who are really new to art. So they're really carefully taking their first steps on that path of, you know, starting to keep a sketchbook or starting to some drawing or painting. And often it is because they know, you know, people have told them, oh, this is good for your mental health, or it's nice to have a hobby, or they see things online that I create and they think, oh, I'd like to try that. But often people are very nervous and insecure in the beginning. And I think the way that I support them is by really breaking down each drawing into really simple process and to create space where people are allowed to make mistakes. Because people often see something like a piece of art that someone has created that maybe they've had years and years of practice. They are like masters in that craft. And then they think they can just do that within a few days. But there's a process. You need to learn. And it's okay to make mistakes. And it's all like I really focus on the process of creating, not about the end. Just forget about that perfect painting. It's all about just leaning into the process and creating space where it's safe to make mistakes. And quite often I do these Zoom classes, right? So like sometimes 5 or 10 or 20 people, they join in on Zoom. And the first few sessions, people often have their camera off. And that's fine because you can have your camera on or off. You can be as interactive as you want to be. You don't have to have your camera off. A lot of people find it a bit uncomfortable in the beginning. But then usually when people come back after a few sessions, they're really proud to show what they're making. And they feel, because it's a really supportive, nurturing environment. And, you know, people feel proud to show what they make. And it's really lovely from people who are participating to see each other's work as well. So that's really lovely to see.
Absolutely. What do some of the clients you work with, what are some of their worries about their art pieces?
Usually it's people who they just feel like their drawings are not good enough. They think they have an image in their mind, and then translating that image that they want to create onto paper can be quite hard sometimes. But it's okay. Like wonky pieces and things that are a little bit crooked or a little bit wonky or with some splashes or something are often much more full of character than drawings that are sort of super hyper realistic and perfect. So people often have an idea in their minds of what art should be or what it should look like or what a sketchbook should look like.
Do your the people you work with, do they draw objects, or sometimes is it from memory or is it from a picture?
Oh, we do all sorts of exercises, and it's a bit different in my classes in person than it is when I teach online, because sometimes it's a bit easier to share pictures and reference pictures online compared to in person. I think it's a bit counterintuitive maybe, but it's easier to share things on a screen than it is to sort of go around a room and show the picture sometimes. So we do a whole mix of things. Sometimes it's really just mark making, creating like different patterns and shapes, more abstract things. Sometimes we use a photo. Sometimes we use a picture that I have created as an example. So tomorrow night we are painting autumn leaves, And this is based on something that I've created in the past. So we're just going to practice that. So it really depends on the session. And we use all sorts of materials as well. So sometimes it's charcoal or color pencil or watercolors. And so it depends on what we do. Every session is a little bit different.
No, absolutely. And you're in your classes, people can use various materials. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I think there's so much fun in trying out different materials. And I think there's a lot of people in the world. I don't know if you see that. I know you're not really big on painting and drawing, but maybe you see that in your surroundings. So people collect things to make hobbies with. So a lot of people have a drawer or a shelf in their house where they have lots of art materials, but they don't really know what to make with it because they feel a bit intimidated. And then by the time they take everything out and they put it ready on the table, then they don't. Then maybe they're already a bit tired to start creating. So, yeah, I help people unpack, and I think, okay, these are actually pencils that you make use more for portraits. Or this you can layer. Sometimes you have like all cool markers, and you can layer them with color pencil, and it works together really nice. Or this works really well for quick sketches, and it's yeah. So I guide people in those materials as well.
That sounds cool. Yeah. And maybe people can use a combination of materials as well, can they?
Yep. Yeah, I always give different options, so people don't need to have exactly what I do. It's okay if they experiment a bit with their own materials. And sometimes people have questions during the class where they say, well, I'm actually using paint markers and you're using paint, you know, just normal paint. How does that work? And then I usually, you can't really see, but I have a whole room full of art materials here that, so usually when people have a question, I'm like, oh, actually I have that and I can quickly show you.
Your art classes sound great. It's just so open. Like people can kind of, you know, they can draw or paint or use different materials. Mm. They can do what they want more or less. And it sounds like it's about being free and empowering. Is that right?
Yeah, it is. It is. But then at the same time, I do quite a lot of hand holding. So for people who are new, like for example, last week we were doing a portrait of an elephant, you know, like an animal portrait. So I help them. How do you set up the sketch? What are the proportions? How do you, like, what shape are the ears? Like, how do you actually start that sketch? Because that's usually the part where people find the most difficult. Once you have the sketch, coloring it in, that's quite easy. But, yeah, getting started sometimes is quite hard. So I help them. I have, like, a sketch template that they can download, and then we go through it together. So it's a lot of fun for me to create all these different classes.
Fantastic. We're just going to a quick ad break and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Delightful news, air travelers. Going in and out of airports without getting sick can be challenging. Time to take charge of the air you breathe with Nasal Guard. Nasal Guard topical gel defends by blocking harmful airborne particles and viruses. Try Nasal Guard for air travelers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about Nasal Guard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, ant and deck, fish and chips, Mum and Dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle Magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle Magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So, Irene, thank you for another introduction to Makings and Musings. For those returning to art after years away, or those who start at a later age, what advice would you give to make the process enjoyable rather than intimidating?
I always think that starting small is a really good place to start. I think it counts for many things, but like physically small. So get a small sketchbook that you can carry with you really easily, or have a few art materials that you have ready so that it's really easy to start using them, rather than doing something really complicated. Because if you have those really large canvases and then you need to get all those paints out and those brushes, and maybe with oil paint you have solvents and all these other materials that you need to get ready, that's very intimidating. So I think starting small and just have, even if it's just a ballpoint pen and a sketchbook, or having just a few colors. Sometimes I travel and I have this like tiny little pouch, and that's all I take with me. It's just a tiny sketchbook, a pouch with two pens, a sketch pencil, one eraser, a sharpener, and that's it. It's just tiny. And then I can make art anywhere. So if I see something I like, I can start sketching. So yeah, that really helps making it more of a habit. And if you keep, or in on the couch, for example, one thing that I did when I really wanted to make art more of a habit is just have a sketchbook and a few materials just sort of under the couch or next to the couch on the shelf. So every evening when I sat down and I wanted to watch TV, I got my sketchbook out and I made a few drawings, just really loose, no pressure, but just, and then I put it away again in that same spot. So every night I knew the materials were there. They were really easy to start using. I didn't need to take an hour to get everything ready. So yeah, start small and keep it really simple. And then from there on, if you want to add things, then you can sort of think, okay, actually, I've now sort of got used to these materials. Maybe I want to start introducing some color, or maybe I want to start adding some paint, or right? And you can sort of slowly start adding some extra materials to the mix.
Brilliant. Do you think makers and musings will get to a point where maybe you take a group of people outside the different locations, mm-hmm. And end up doing artwork outdoors?
Yeah, I do that sometimes already.
Cool.
Not very often, because the British weather is very unpredictable, unfortunately. But yeah, I do that quite often already, because there's so many beautiful places to see. And I really like to do something called urban sketching. Have you ever heard of this?
No.
So urban sketching really means that you take like really simple materials, as I just described, and you just walk around in the streets and you like sketch buildings. So most of the time it's in cities, but you can also do like a bit more nature or farms, or if you live in a more rural area. But it's a really simple setup, usually a waterproof pen, and then you add a little bit of color with watercolors. And yes, I host some urban sketching groups where we come together and sit somewhere just for an hour and a half, and then do some sketching of some beautiful buildings around.
Go somewhere dry or take an umbrella.
Yeah, or sometimes when it rains a little bit, it's actually okay, because then you get little splashes on your paper and it adds.
Yeah.
Sometimes it looks quite nice.
Create that realistic kind of art. What locations do you tend to go to?
Mostly around Cambridge, because I live in Cambridshire, so around there. And for my own personal practice, I really like to go into London as well. So there's, because here in England, like so many museums are free, so it's really nice to go into a museum as well and to do some sketching.
Absolutely.
I do that quite often as well, but not really for groups, more for my own fun.
No, that's cool. Can you tell us more about the range of classes offered at Makings and Musings?
Yes, I am. So when I originally started, I only used to do charcoal drawing classes and watercolor painting classes. But over the years, a lot of things have been added to that. And I do everything from color pencil drawings, from mixed media, sketchbook classes. I still really like to do charcoal and watercolors as well. But I think my style has evolved a lot over the years, and the way that I'm teaching has evolved a lot. But yeah, I'm doing a mix of online courses so people can have a look and then see, for example, I do an how to draw your own pet portrait sort of course, or a charcoal portraiture course, like when you draw people's faces, to how to start your first sketchbook, or loose watercolor flowers. I have a lot of different things that people can dip into for different levels as well. So there's a few courses that are clearly labeled for beginners, so for people who are really new to art, and then a few more intermediate ones as well.
Brilliant. What are some of those most popular ones that you do?
The fill your first sketchbook one is definitely the most popular one, I think. Because a lot of people would like to keep a sketchbook, but they don't really know how to go about that. And when you look at sketchbook artists online, you see like really like, people post the most beautiful sketchbooks where they, you know, they like decorate it beautifully, like really like, with really wonderful paintings. But for a lot of people, it's actually better to just start simple. And also a sketchbook can be a little bit like a diary. So you can combine it a bit with writing or do a little bit of painting and just be a bit messy as well. And you don't have to share things online, because sometimes the stuff that you see online can be quite intimidating. But a lot of artists, they have that nicely curated sketchbook that they share online. But then next to that, they have a messy sketchbook just for idea dumps and for to scribble in, and they don't share that, so you don't see that part. So yeah, what you see online is not always the reality. So I help people getting started with that, and that's definitely, yeah, I would say the most popular course that I'm running.
Are you planning any other different types of classes at all for the future?
I am. I always have lots of ideas. At the moment, I'm preparing an a fantasy houses course, which is really loose and wonky, where you can create like little shapes of houses in ink and then paint over it. And it's a really loose way of painting. So I'm filling an entire sketchbook with that, and then filming pieces here and there. So I'm creating a course with that. Also a drawing fundamentals one is one that I'm recording at the moment, really with the basics of how do you start with your proportions and how do you start sketching, like really, like going back to the basic, which is really quite interesting for me to do, because a lot of those things I sort of do automatically. And then when I'm now teaching it or filming these videos, I really have to think about every little step that one takes when you start a drawing. So that's one that I'm doing. Oh, and a watercolor portrait ones. So yeah, I always got lots of ideas of things that...
Loads you're thinking of. I'm sure there's great stuff that's going to come out of what you're doing, you know?
Absolutely.
A new study came out recently about how arts and crafts is great for all of our well-being. Tell us a bit more about that.
Yeah, so this is something that I was very happy with this studies, because I've known this for years, that doing arts and crafts is really good for your mental health and really good for relaxation and for your own personal. So your well-being, it has two components. It's about your physical health and your mental health and how you feel about your place in the world, like how satisfied you are with where you are in life. This studies has proven that how our well-being is, the influence from arts and crafts is bigger than even like our job and our employment is. And I thought that was really interesting, because we live in a society where there is so much emphasis on our jobs, on our employment, and we get a lot of our identity from our jobs. But actually doing arts and crafts can be more meaningful to us than having a high-flying career. So I thought it was a really interesting study. And it was just conducted here in Cambridge, so not far from here as well.
Do you know why that might be the case?
I think it is because external factors can only, like, the way that people perceive us and, having, like, nice clothes or an expensive watch or a nice car or, like, a big house, those sort of things can only satisfy us so much, like, yeah, it's nice to have these things and it's nice to go on nice holidays. But I think our values in life usually come from something deeper, like having connection to your family, being able to express yourself and art and crafts as well. So I find the difference between arts and craft is sort of a blend, because when is something art, when is something craft? Doing things with your hands and making something and then looking at something that you've created from scratch, I think gives a real sense of achievement and helps people build their confidence. And I can really see why that gives a deeper sense of satisfaction than those external things that we might think that we value so much initially when we first start working. But actually, maybe we need something a little bit more in life than that.
Absolutely. Did the study give any reasons why at all? From its findings,
they said that as well, and also the effect that you can express yourself through through your art. And that's actually something, because I teach a lot of people who are older and they think that they're too old to start creating. But actually, I think a bit of life experience can really help. You can make, like, you have more things to say and more things to share when you're a bit later in life. And the more experience you have, the more value you have to add to the world, right? So.
Did you say more failure?
Sorry?
Did you say more failure you can implement into it?
No, more value, I said.
Value.
I think failure is an interesting thing because the things you fail at are often sort of like what makes you stronger, right?
Yeah.
You've got things to share again, so.
Absolutely, yeah. I wonder if that comes out in art. Has it ever come out in your art?
Well, I participated, so I'm part of an art studio called Together Culture, where I have my own studio, and they're doing lots of wonderful, positive things in Cambridge. And they did a project a year ago, which was where you was writing your CV of failure. So you're going for all the things that had gone wrong in your life or that you failed at. And then it was about reframing what failure is. And actually that quite often those things lead to like positive changes in your life or how these things are connected. So that was a very interesting thing to participate in.
Yeah, that sounds actually really interesting. I've heard that before, just generally in my sessions and just outside, where people explain how something happens to the person, whether it's health or an incident or something, and how they've turned that around and it's actually benefited their life hugely, life-changing in a very positive way. So it's interesting you say that.
Yeah, I'm sure you speak to many people who are going through quite difficult things in their life and then turn it around for the positive.
Yeah, a lot of the people I've interviewed, to be honest with you, that have done so well, they've a lot of them explain how, from their stories, how something happened to them, whatever it might be. And from that, it's resulted in them going forwards to where they are now, and then and also leading to the interview because of their interesting background. So, you know, it's quite interesting to hear about. It's really positive to hear about how people turn around something that's negative and turn it into something positive, you know?
It can be a driving force behind certain decisions, can it?
100%, absolutely. How does making the musings incorporate mindfulness into the creative process?
So I believe that making art can be a form of mindfulness. So, you know, mindfulness is when you are in the present moment, when you're really conscious of what you are doing in each individual sort of moment. And it slows down time. So the more you are aware of what's happening in the present, the more you get the sense of time slowing down. So that's sort of a proven feeling that people get when they practice mindfulness. And mindfulness can be done through meditation. But it can also be done through other things. So, yeah, you can be mindful when you are going out for a walk, for example, or even when you do some house chores or something like that, just when you're conscious in the present moment. And I think so often we are being pulled away from what we are sort of in our modern day society. We are pulled away from the present by, a to-do list for all those things that we need to do tomorrow. And also by social media, for example, or people who are like distractions, like things that are texting, people are texting us. There's so many demands on us that sort of pull us away from being in the present and make us think and wonder and be stressed out about things that may happen in the future or that have happened in the past. And I believe that art is a really great tool to practice mindfulness, because when you're focusing on a drawing, sometimes you start and you're still thinking about, oh, I have to do these groceries, or, I need to visit my grandmother, or I need to, I need to do this, or like all these things. And then whilst you go into that creative flow and you start that process, all those thoughts, they sort of start to calm down and you're just focusing on what you're doing in the moment. And then afterwards, when you finished your drawing, whether it is a great drawing that you're really happy with, or you feel like you still have some practice to do, it doesn't matter. But very often when people have done an hour of drawing, or even after 20 minutes sometimes, you just feel a bit more revived and relaxed and calm. So for meditation can be a little bit intimidating sometimes, or a bit Yeah, I practice a lot of meditation myself. But if this is something that you're new to and a concept that you are like, you know, sometimes people have a bit of resistance against meditation, art can be a really great way of practicing mindfulness.
It's really interesting, actually, you bring up meditation, because for the last few weeks, I've been trying to get more into meditation, because I see so much of it come up from social media. People have spoken to me about it. People have interviewed. And I thought to myself, I've got to try and incorporate it more into just my own daily lifestyle. And it's interesting how I don't know if you feel the same thing, but you feel more afterwards, you feel a bit more refreshed and clear-minded. Do you feel the same thing, or?
I do. And I sort of try to practice a bit of meditation most days. I don't always get around to do it, but then even if I do some art or go for a walk, I try to just be like in the moment, not be on my phone and podcasts and all these things that you can sit, do at the same time, but like just to enjoy the moment. But I've done quite a few meditation retreats where I sort of went for 10 days, you know, in quiet. So you're not talking for 10 days. You do a lot of like reflection, sitting still. And then I didn't even realize how much it affected me until I came out again. And then I have a very busy social life. You know, I also like to go to the pub with my friends, and I like to do like most people do. I'm definitely not a monk just meditating all day. I have lots of other things as well. And only after I came out, I realized how much input you have every day and how loud and how noisy the world actually is. So it took me quite a few days sort of to come back to, okay, I'm actually okay again with like going out and doing things. When you take away all that noise. But yeah, I find it really interesting to see what happens to your mind and to your how sensitive you become to things like noise when you spend 10 days not having any.
Brilliant. We're just going to have a quick ad break and we'll be right back.
The station that makes you feel good.
Delightful news, air travelers. Going in and out of airports without getting sick can be challenging. Time to take charge of the air you breathe with Nasal Guard. Nasal Guard topical gel defends by blocking harmful airborne particles and viruses. Try Nasal Guard for air travelers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about Nasal Guard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, Mum and Dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So Irene, what inspired you to start your own creative journey and how has it impacted your personal well-being?
Well, we spoke about this before, the last time I was on the show, but I really started making some musings after my grandmother passed away. And this was, it's now 7 years ago, 8 years ago. And I was really, really close to my grandmother. I was there whilst she was, you know, in her last sort of hours. I held her hands while she passed away. Even though she had a very full life, she was in her 90s. Like, I'm very grateful for all of that. I was really, really struck by grief still, even though, there was a lot to be thankful for. And she was an artist. So her house was full of her paintings. She had lots of art materials. And she actually started painting later in life after her own kids had moved out. And I think she was in her 50s or 60s when she started painting. But yeah, her house was full of art. And I decided to take her art materials home because no one else in the family really wanted to have them. And I took her paints and her brushes and some easels and a whole big bag of different pencils and pens. And I took everything home. And then one sort of evening, I was sitting at my kitchen table and I thought, you know what? I'm just going to paint something with these paints. And I felt really close to my grandma doing that. And it really helped me process that grief and process that loss by using her materials. It was like she was there with me. It was a really nice sort of thing to do. And actually from that moment, I started to paint and draw almost every day. And in the beginning, I was terrible at it. I think as a child, people said I was quite good at drawing. But then if you don't practice it almost at all, like for your teenage years and stuff, then if I look back at those drawings now, they were terrible. But it didn't matter. It wasn't about making a great painting. It was about, you know, going through that process and that enjoyment and that closeness that I felt with her. And that's sort of how it started. And then I started to share some of my paintings sort of online, and I started to teach some classes. And then people started to ask me, oh, can you, you know, paint a portrait of my pet or of my, you know, some relative or my mum for her birthday, these sort of things. And then from there on, it started, the ball started rolling. And before you know it, this is what I do. So it's
This is an example, isn't it, of turning negative into something that's positive, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah. It really is. Mm. I think my nan would have really loved to run her own business as an artist. She was painting mostly for her own joy, and she made some pictures sort of for people, like as gifts and stuff. But I don't think she ever sold anything, not as far as I know. But yeah, her paintings were wonderful, and her whole house was full of them, and she loved doing it so much.
What do you think makes creative activities so effective for our wellness compared to traditional work?
So I think, well, we sort of touched upon this already a little bit. So I think first of all, a lot of our work nowadays is really screen-based, right? It's like we're all so working on a digital thing. And I am not like have anything against the digital world, but I think it's really good for us to step away from that at times and then go back to basics, to make things with our hands, to go more sort of analog, to make music, to dance, to do drawing and painting, and to just really use our brain in a different way again. So I think that's really important. So that's the first thing. Like, I know not everyone works with computers, but a lot of us sort of do, I think. So that's sort of the first part. And also what we spoke about earlier, that our sense of self and our sense of fulfillment can be sort of satisfied by work, but very often that is sort of on quite a superficial level, while actually a real sense of satisfaction comes from like contributing things to society and being there for each other and making things as well, things that last, creating something with your own hands. So I think, if you can do that for art, that is just wonderful. And I'm not saying that everyone has really terrible jobs. Like, I know a lot of people love their jobs, but I think it's good to to find that balance and to do both.
Mm, absolutely. I mean, how can someone with little experience start a creative practice, especially later in life?
I think really, as I said before, like starting small really helps. And also take away that pressure of art having to be perfect. Because perfection is something that is an illusion. It doesn't exist. Because when you start making art, you're... idea of what a great painting is shifts. So you start making something and you have these artists that you aspire to. You think, oh, that's, you know, Picasso was really great. I want to make art like that. And then you start creating and you find that actually, now I want to start doing that style, or now I want to start doing that style. Or you're, so every time, you know, when your bar is sort of here, I know people might just be listening to this and can't see, but if your bar is sort of this high, then by the time you reach it, the bar has gotten higher. So I think it's the same in sports, right? When you if you're a weightlifter, once you can lift 20 kilos, by the time you can do that, your goal has shifted. So, and it's the same with art as well. So the idea that you have those goals and your art needs to be perfect, It's really healthy to let that go and just create for the sake of creation and not to reach those certain goals.
Do you have any easy tips or exercises for someone who wants to start keeping a sketchbook but doesn't know where to begin?
I do. Yeah, I do loads. So I think starting with simple materials is a really good one. But also if anyone wants to try out some videos that they can follow along, I have loads of them on my website and on YouTube and on other places. That people can just tune into and then draw along. If I explain it to you sort of now on radio, I think it's hard to visualize it. Sometimes it helps for people, when you do painting, to actually see some examples sort of in front of them. And I think something that is really important to create things that bring you joy. So if you love animals, don't feel like you have to make a certain type of art. If you want to draw lots of turtles, if that's your passion and you really love turtles, draw loads of turtles. No one is like, this is art. You can do whatever you want. And of course, I, help people improve and practice certain styles and practice with certain materials. But there's no rules in art. The idea that you have to do things in a certain way, that is, I don't know, people come up with certain rules, but you can do whatever you want. You can combine paints in any way that you want. You can tear up things and then make collages out of them. You can specialize in only painting duck noses or so. I don't know, I'm just making something random up. If that's what you want to do, then try out lots of different things and then find something that brings you joy and then,
Can parents and educators encourage kids and teenagers to engage in art?
Yes, and I think it's very important to do so. When I was growing up, I went to Steiner School, which is, there's a few here in the UK, but I think it's much bigger in Europe. But for example, we never used to do any colouring in pages. We always had to draw things from our imagination. And they were quite strict about that. So I always find it quite strange when kids just only have these colouring in books and they never draw anything from their own sort of imagination in mind. Because that's not what I learned when I was a kid. But the if kids want to try out things, let them. It's okay. And it's okay if they make a bit of a mess. It's okay if they draw outside the lines or if they... I know sometimes... And there's loads of art materials that are not super messy. I know that parents sometimes are a bit worried about, having lots of paint over the couch and everything like that. But there are a lot of art materials that kids can use that that are not super messy and that are still really fun and colourful and vibrant. So if anyone's curious about that, they can always send me a message and I can give them a few tips.
Brilliant.
Some things that that they need to use. But they, I think sometimes the fear of having to tidy up can stop people a bit from making art with kids. But
where can people find you if they want to get in contact with you?
So you can find me everywhere on social media and my website and everywhere as Makings and Musings.
Lovely. Thanks for your time today, Irene. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I really love talking to you. And I feel like we have so much more to talk about. Yeah, we could carry on for hours. But yeah, thank you
absolutely.
So much. Really appreciate it.
No worries. And thank you to our listeners. You can find me on Instagram at GavinJ417. Until next time, take care.